Let's bow our hearts in a word of prayer, and we'll go ahead and get going. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace with hearts of thanksgiving, thanking you for our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and we thank you for the salvation that we have in him. Thank you for the privilege and the blessing we have to be gathered here through this medium, gathered together for the study of your word. And Heavenly Father, we pray for listening ears and believing hearts. We pray that the attitude we have toward your word is, yea, let God be true, and every man a liar. And we ask these things with prayer and thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the question, healing and prosperity, are they signs of the power and wisdom of God today? In much of the preaching today, especially in the Word of Faith movement and in the Pentecostal circles, they believe that it is. I've heard people say time and time again, they couldn't believe in a God that didn't heal. And so healing and prosperity for them are signs or evidences of the blessings of God, of the presence of God, the way that God would draw people to him and attract people to him. I heard one guy say that we're supposed to be lights shining in the world today. And if we can't pay our bills, how are we going to attract people with that kind of a situation? If we're always sick in our bodies, how are we going to attract people that way? Now, as I said, when we think about the power and the wisdom of God today, Paul makes it abundantly clear that the power and the wisdom of God is the life of the Lord Jesus Christ made manifest in our mortal flesh. 1 Corinthians 24, Paul writes to the Corinthians, he says, "But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." Now, he says Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Now, that's significant. He's not saying what was taught in the Gospels. In the Gospels, you were talking about in the name of Christ. Things being done by the, you know, having been given authority. Remember Matthew chapter 10, Christ gave his apostles authority and power. Matthew 10 and verse 1, "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease." Now, Paul is saying something substantially different from that. You see, in Matthew 10, and as the 12 went about executing their ministry, everything was done in the name of Jesus. What Paul is talking about is something that is not in the name of Christ, but through Christ. And that's the difference between the gospel of the kingdom and the gospel of grace of God. The gospel of the kingdom is in the name of Christ. The gospel of the grace of God is through Christ. I'll give you another illustration of that is in Luke chapter 24. Luke 24:47, "And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached," notice, "in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Now compare that, contrast that, Acts 13:38-39. Acts 13:38-39, note Paul says, he says something substantially different. "Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that this man is preached unto you, the forgiveness of sins." Notice, and he says, "Known you therefore, and brethren, that through this man," not his name, "but through this man preached to you the forgiveness of sins." And likewise, the manifestation of the power of God is different accordingly. Now, going back to 1 Corinthians 1:24, in 1 Corinthians 1:20, again, Paul, he says, "Unto them call, both Jews and Greeks," this is what he says, "the power of God, wisdom of God." And that's much like 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. What is the power of God unto salvation? The gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. It is the wisdom of God unto salvation, so forth. And so when we think about the power of God today, we first and foremost think about the cross, the crook of the Lord Jesus Christ. We think about the gospel of Christ, the God of the grace of God, as it were. This cross, preaching of us, as Paul calls it, that manifestation of power and the wisdom of God today. And though that's the case, that presentation of God's power, that presentation of God's wisdom is lost on the world. That power and that wisdom does not appeal to the world. Look back at verse 23. Back at 1 Corinthians 23. We preach Christ. Notice, we preach Christ. We're not just preaching in His name, but we preach Christ crucified. Now, and when I say we preach Christ, as Paul says, we preach Christ crucified here, again, that's substantially different from the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom. Now, there is a preaching of Christ in the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom, but there is not the preaching of Christ in Him crucified. That's substantially different. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 1, Paul says, I determine not to anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. See, that is the message to we preach Christ and Him crucified for salvation day. So again, in Romans 1:16, Paul declares, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And the world does not have a positive response to that message. Again, 1 Corinthians 1:23. But we preach crucified, notice, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. Why is that so? 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 4. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 4. Notice what Paul writes here. For though he was crucified through what? Weakness. That's why the world, the cross is a stumbling block to the Jew. That's why the cross, the preaching of the cross, the preaching of Christ and Him crucified, is foolishness to the Gentiles because of its appearance. Its appearance is other than the world looks for. The world looks for glory. The world looks for power and splendor and wealth and prosperity as signs and measures of success, as signs and evidence of the blessings of God. That's what the world looks for. That's how they measure. That's how to find God, as one who lavish upon them in the material things of this world, health and prosperity. And if you don't have those things, in their estimation, God is not blessing. Okay, the presence of God is not there. The power of God is not there. The wisdom of God is not with you. But what does Paul say? For though he was crucified through weakness, we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. Look at 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9. Now, in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9, When we talk about the preaching of the cross, when we talk about the preaching of Christ, we must acknowledge is that when Paul says the gospel of Christ, the power of God unto salvation, it does not promise, in that gospel message, not the promise of deliverance from pain and suffering and poverty. The gospel of the salvation that message talks about, the power of God unto salvation, the salvation in message, the salvation of that message is not deliverance from physical suffering. It's not the promise of physical, material prosperity. Those are spiritual blessings. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly place in Christ. It is the, what declares in another place, in whom made it, we've been accepted in the Beloved. He talked about in whom we have redemption, the even the forgiveness of sin. You're complete in him, and so on. That's the salvation that the gospel of Christ, the gospel of the grace of God, speaks of you and I today in the dispensation of the grace of God. And we are, as all others are, subject to the sufferings of this present time and to the bond of corruption. Paul talks about, though our outward man perish, that's the state of things in the dispensation of grace. Our inward man is renewed day to day. And so we talk of what is a manifestation of the power and wisdom of God today. It's clear that it has to do with life the Lord Jesus Christ made manifest in our mortal flesh, as opposed to healing and prosperity. In 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9, there Paul said, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee." Now notice these next few words. "For my strength is made perfect in weakness." Remembering, he was crucified, what? In weakness. And that's not a palatable message for the Jew, nor for the Greek for that matter. Unto the Jew, it was stumbling, but unto the Greeks, it was foolishness. Yet to them that are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, note Christ, power of God, and the wisdom of God. And so again, I say to you, it's to do with the life of Christ being made manifest in our mortal flesh, the manifestation of the power and wisdom of God today. "For my strength," God says, "is made perfect in weakness." Paul goes on to say, "Most glad, therefore, I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." 2 Corinthians verse 10, he goes on to say here, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses, for Christ's sake. Again, for when I am weak, then am I strong." The world preaches a different message than that. They don't preach weakness, rather they preach strength. And they preach strength, and they want to hold up strength to be the appeal to those that they are appealing to. And yet just the opposite is the message of grace. Grace talks about when I am weak, then am I strong. Then the power of Christ is upon me. You see, that's not an appealing message to the world. And you can see that, you know that from the preaching of today, because what is being emphasized? The mighty, miracle, wonder-working power of God. That's what the preachers are filling the airwaves with, both radio and television. That's what the books are being written about today. But what about Christ being crucified in weakness, and that being the power of God? You hear little preaching about the cross. You hear very much about healing. You hear very much about prosperity, but very little about the cross. Again, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. That's why the cross figured so prominently in Paul's preaching, because he was not ashamed of it. And it was the power of God unto salvation, and therefore it was the focus, it was the theme of his preaching. And so should it be ours today in the dispensation of grace. Christ in him crucified. Colossians 1:27, Paul talks about Christ in you, the hope of glory. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16, he talks about being strengthened with might by his Spirit, where? In the inner man. And as a passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning 7 through verse 10. I'm just going to read that and comment as I go along. Getting at verse 7, "We have treasure in earthen that's talking about gospel. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, fragile clay pots, easily broken, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And notice how this power manifests itself. Again, when I am weak, then am I strong. But the power, the manifestation of the power and the wisdom of God, there is a manifestation. There is a power, there is a wisdom, but it is manifested in our weakness. And that manifestation must be made manifest in our mortal flesh. You see, the power of God and the wisdom of God is to bore witness to, indeed, that people may truly belong to God. But you don't want to misrepresent the power and the wisdom of God in seeking to draw people attention, that people, to appeal to people, to put their faith and their trust to know the true and the living God. You don't want to misrepresent the power and the wisdom of God today. In verse 8, we are troubled on every side. And when that power and that wisdom is manifested in our mortal flesh, the results would be, yet not distressed. We are perplexed. And when the power and the wisdom of God is manifested in our mortal flesh, the end results will be, but not in despair. Persecuted. And when we manifest the power and the wisdom of God in our mortal flesh, the end results would be, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. And notice, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. He was crucified in weakness, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Paul says in Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. But the outward manifestation of that will have the appearance of weakness. But there is a power and a wisdom to be displayed, to be manifested, and it's by having the right response to the trials and the tribulations of this life. And the right response to the trials and the tribulations of this life, as Paul said in Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. It is to always see yourself in Christ, and to see yourself in Christ as God sees you in Christ. And that is complete. That is made accepted in the Beloved. That is always having access unto the Father by this grace wherein we stand, Paul writes in another place. Always bearing about in our body the dying of the Lord, that the life of the Lord Jesus Christ may be made manifest in our mortal flesh. The life of the Lord Jesus Christ made manifest in our mortal flesh is the manifestation of the power and wisdom of God today in the dispensation of grace rather than healing and prosperity. Again, the life of the Lord Jesus Christ made manifest in our mortal flesh is the manifestation of the power and wisdom of God today in the dispensation of grace rather than healing and prosperity. In Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, by my performance, by my doing, then Christ is dead in vain. You see, always bearing about the dying of the Lord Jesus in our body, it's, as Paul would say, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. It is the life of the Lord Jesus Christ being made manifest in our mortal flesh, wherein the power and the wisdom of God is made manifest. He goes on to say, so then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. And notice verse 16 and 17. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. Or light affliction. And that's how Paul views the trials and the tribulations of this life, as but light affliction, which are but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Paul said it this way in Philippians 2:13, it is God which worketh in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. You see, the manifestation of the power and the wisdom of God is to be made manifest in our mortal flesh, not through healing, not through prosperity, but rather through our weakness. And when we embrace that treasure which we have in earthen vessels, we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So if you look back with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and you see the point that I'm driving at here, rather than trying to promote health and prosperity as a sign of the power and the wisdom of God, that the power and the wisdom of God is to be represented throughout. He says, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Now notice how that is described. Because the foolishness of God, talking about Christ, the preaching of Christ and Him crucified for salvation today. But the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Now notice what he says, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many noble are called. Now, it's not that wise men aren't called, and it's not that noble men aren't called. There are a few that do respond to the gospel. But the fact of the matter is, not many. Not many. Because oftentimes, men of worldly wisdom and men of worldly prosperity trust in their human wisdom and trust in their material wealth rather than trusting in the true and the living God. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. But God has chosen, notice, the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. And how much true, how so true that is today in the dispensation of grace. Where the manifestation of the power and the wisdom of God is not through the miraculous, not through the signs and the wonders and the healings and blessing people abundantly, showering blessings, pouring out blessings, pouring out a blessing that they cannot contain. Quite the opposite. Quite the opposite. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. That no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God. Now notice, who of God is made unto us what? Wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And we can say in power and everything. He's our all in all. That's why Paul says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. You see, if we believe the gospel of the grace of God, that's what our testimony is going to be. Is Christ in him crucified. It won't be I was baptized. It won't be I go to church. It won't be I live a good life. It'll be Christ in him crucified. That's where we show our weakness, by exalting the cross, the cross work, realizing that everything, we're totally bankrupt. We were without strength, enemies, couldn't do anything pleasing and acceptable to God. But God, who is rich in his mercy, Paul says in another place, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. Not rich in physical health, not rich in the material goods of this world, but being blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Therefore, let us not be following after and seeking healings. Let us not be following after and looking for the material prosperity of this world. But rather, as Paul would say, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the rudiments of the world, after the traditions of men. I'm trying to find the verse here so I can quote it right. He says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. We're to follow after Christ. Christ and him crucified. We have this treasure again in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us.